Hi, welcome to Psychology in Short. I am Dr. Lauren Goodall. I'm a clinical psychologist, and today we're going to be talking about attraction, attachment, and getting addicted to a relationship. But before we start, I'd like to say I'm pretty excited because we've got the website opened up, and it is drlaurengoodall.com. And it provides an opportunity for you to give me some feedback, especially as it relates to some topics of interest. So I'm pretty excited about that. So with that, let's just get started. And the first topic is attraction. And I'm going to be covering this more from a psychological standpoint. So with attraction, we all have a general sense of what it is, but I'm going to break it down a little bit tighter. You have to have a sense of familiarity. In psychology, we use the term schema. A schema is like a template, okay? It's got memories, it has associations, but it is a template. And before you can really be attracted to somebody, you have to have some level of familiarity somewhere. To give you an example of this, for instance, say when you want to meet somebody new, even as a friend, you may be sitting down with them and you cross topics in different areas. And basically we do that to see if there's anything of interest that we share with this other person. If so, then we choose to continue forward with the relationship or the friendship. If not, will tend to pass on it. Okay, well, romantic relationships are the same way. There's something about the person that has familiarity, or what I call the connecting of the dots, that seems important and in some way has significance for you. Maybe you grew up in the same neighborhood. Maybe you were both raised by single parents. Maybe you know some of the same people, or you travel in similar circles. Those are just some basics about familiarity. The other thing that I think is important things, I should say, that have to be in play, I call it four parts: attention, validation, agreement, and responsivity. Okay, attention is pretty much what you think it is. We don't get attracted to people unless they pay some level of attention to us, okay? We also need some level of validation. Validation matters in terms of continuing forward with an attraction. Agreement. Okay, so there's different ways to show agreement. Some of it is verbal, and we all know what verbal agreement is, okay? We just talk about something and we agree on it. But nonverbal agreement is just as important. There's plenty of things that you can communicate nonverbally and know that you're in agreement on. For instance, if you attend a lecture and the lecturer's talking and now all of a sudden you're bored and you're starting to roll your eyes, you look across the room and you find somebody else who's doing the same thing, you're communicating. That is nonverbal agreement. Okay, so agreement matters. Other things that show agreement are like, for instance, clean people like other clean people, laid-back people like other laid-back people, workhorses like other workhorses. Why? Because there's no debate. There is agreement there. We also notice in attraction, we notice physical traits. Okay, that's pretty obvious. I'll leave that. I'm not going to bother explaining that. But certain physical traits or features have associations for you that mean something to you. Okay, so you will tend to notice those traits more than other traits. Personality traits. People get attracted to personality traits. Is the person easygoing? Is the person funny? Super expressive with their eyes. Okay, communication styles. Okay, how do they speak? Are they soft toned? Are they louder? We have preferences, and a lot of what we've been raised in or who we enjoy being with, those preferences have been pretty well established. So it's pretty unlikely that we are going to go so far from our preference list. It usually does not happen, or it will take a lot to change that or to influence that. Okay, so the other pieces that are involved with attraction are, like I said, positive memories, positive associations. You're not going to get attracted to somebody if there's any way you can connect a dot that has a negative association. Okay, you're not going to get attracted to somebody who throws judgment. That's a quick killer. Okay, or somebody who really violates your sense of values. Another quick killer. But generally, who we get attracted to, we tend to put a psychological halo effect on them, which means basically we assume more positive traits about them. Even if they haven't technically been earned, we just immediately tend to psychologically do that, more of what we call a halo effect. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Dr. Gottman. He talks about relationships. He's a psychologist who devoted his career to studying couples and how to build trust and how to build relationships and what crumbles relationships, so to speak. And he talks about this concept called love maps, and which is basically people understanding what goes into building a relationship with person X or person Y. A map is basically your background, what makes you happy, what makes you sad, what is uncomfortable for you, those types of things. So things you really dislike. And obviously, those are pieces that you want to develop and move towards in a relationship to start building the relationship. Now, what cuts off attraction? Okay, what cuts off attraction is perhaps somebody who violates our boundaries. By that, making a demand, they want your phone number, they insist on having your phone number, or maybe they violate your physical space, like they don't ask before they go to hug, so they just kind of push their way through. That is going to be something that will crack attraction pretty quickly. We like people who respect our boundaries. We like people who have a working understanding of our physical space and how to approach us and how to share communication with us, you know. Issues where attraction gets killed, I would say, or attachment gets impaired, are when we have personality differences that are too large, okay? For instance, if you're a person who loves a lot of to do things differently, loves novelty, tries something new every day, and you're attracted to a person who likes the same old, likes to go to the same restaurant, order the same food because they like the consistency and the reliability of it, okay, over time that's going to prove to be a pretty large difference, okay? And that can break an attraction and an attachment. So personality differences. Huge extroverts initially can be attracted to an introvert, but a lot of times, unless they find some parallel process or some common interest ground, sometimes, you know, too much of a difference is going to create a problem. Some difference is okay. We generally like some difference. Some difference keeps things interesting, okay? That gives us stuff to talk about, stuff to work through, or just appreciate about the other person. But big differences are going to cause, usually break up the attraction or the building of a relationship. Like I said, big difference in values. Okay, somebody wants to build a big corporate culture and you're interested in building a family, big difference in values, that's going to be a problem. And I think just just values in terms of how you structure your life, goals that you see yourself moving towards. You have to have some movement in those areas so you can have some support. As I said, you know, differences can exist, but just not over the top type of differences. All right. And so good attraction builds positive emotion. Okay. So that kind of pushes us and fuels us into more of an attachment phase. And what is attachment? Attachment starts back at our first days of life. It is the ability to have trust, have the belief that our caretakers are going to be there for us. And when they are, we develop a secure attachment. And when they are not, we get an insecure attachment. And fortunately and unfortunately, those patterns persist throughout life and can carry from relationship to relationship. That sense of trusting to be heard, that sense of trusting to be validated. So attachment is critical. And one thing that's surprising, or semi-surprising, people think that you have to have all positives in a relationship to build attachment. I say yes and no. The no part comes from people can build attachment from stressful situations. I'll give you some examples. People in advanced school programs, those programs come with a ton of pressure. They're usually weeding people out left and right. And where there's stress and where there's pressure, there's also going to be bonding. Okay, so people can bond, even though they're very different, under certain structures, certain organizations. You see that, for sure you see that in the military. People can come from very different backgrounds, but they come to trust one another because they have the same goals and they're going through the same pressure cooker. And same levels of stress. So that's another way to build attachment. People working on legal cases, okay, in terms of the research, in terms of the lawyer's work, etc. You have the same goal. You build up some level of rapport, some level of attachment. Okay, grief groups. If you've lost a spouse, if you've lost a child, you can go through a very traumatic experience and build attachment even from stressful situations. Okay, so that's a little bit about attraction, a little bit about attachment. And now I'm going to talk about when attachment becomes addiction, okay? And how does that usually present in the office? That usually presents where relationships are always commonly a common issue where people come in to talk to a psychologist or a therapist, okay? But when attachment and addiction are tied in, and most people don't know that they might have an addiction to a relationship. Most people think of addiction as somebody who's got a drug or alcohol issue. I say addiction comes into attachment when the brain comes on board and you're like, what are you talking about? Okay. When the brain comes on board, Dr. Helen Fisher, she is an anthropologist and a biologist, and she's done a ton of work on romantic love. And she starts talking about the love hormones and more specifically, even dopamine. And with her, she did a lot of MRIs on people who were in love, couples that were in love and going through breakup patterns. So she looked a lot at the brain and the brain influences. So certainly if you're interested in brain and brain influences, that's your person. But basically, with some people, you can be attracted to somebody and you can build an attachment and build it over time. You can build it over proximity, meaning they're close to you, you see them a lot, and you build it in steps. And then there's these other people that it's like an instant addiction and you can't really explain it. You're like, how did that happen? Okay, for some reason, you look at that person and your brain chemistry just goes, wow, okay? The dopamine's saying, oh my gosh, what is that? Now I'm totally paying attention My concentration is through the roof, okay? And so my arousal system is like, hey, this looks good, okay? Whereas other people, you could be attracted to them, but it just doesn't really make you or break you, okay? If you get biology on board, good luck. It's going to be a tougher road. It's going to be really good, and it's got the ability to be a roller coaster ride. It's good and it's bad, okay? Pick your poison. But I'm just going to explain a little bit about that. So when dopamine comes in, dopamine is a neurotransmitter that is all about motivation and concentration, and it's totally about the reward system in your brain. Your that part of your brain says, oh, I really like this. I really like this person, okay? And this person can also trigger feelings of calmness, laughter, things like that. When there's a lot of hormone and neurotransmitter activity in your relationship where you're feeling all these things, it would not be hard to seek this person out further or, get addicted to the relationship, for lack of better words. If the physical intimacy is good, okay, you're going to have a lot more of that going on. So you have the brain-dropping feel-good hormones and neurotransmitters such as serotonin and dopamine all over the place, okay? That's going to be a relationship that if you go through a breakup, people tend to be the most upset. By most upset, I'm saying you're talking months, you're talking years, and the relationship has long been broken up and the person is still pretty devastated. And in those situations, I'm going to say, hey, okay, let's look at it from the brain chemical standpoint. You felt really good with this person. You felt you were basically on a high with this person. And then you crashed when they left, okay? Or when they stopped being positive, or when they walked away. And you're still trying to chase it to understand, what did I do? Was there something I did wrong? Okay, so this understanding that it's not always necessarily the person, that there is a biochemistry in your own brain that just said, hey, you know, this lights up the entire board, and this is the person I'm interested in. And there are relationships that are hard to break up from. One of them in particular uses intermittent reinforcement, okay? Like, say for instance, if you're dog training, I hate to put this on the same level, but it's kind of the same thing. If you give your dog constant reinforcement for everything, eventually your dog tunes you out. It's like, yeah, okay, I do what I want, okay? Well, in relationships, we tend to do the same thing. If someone just gives you positive, 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 you start to tune out their feedback. But intermittent reinforcement is where you have to wait for the positives, and then all of a sudden, you finally get that, or what we call crumbs in the relationship. They throw you a crumb and you jump on board again. Okay, intermittent reinforcement is the hardest thing to break, okay? Because it's not only interpersonal and behavioral, it's got some brain biology on it, okay? How do you know when you're dealing with addiction in the relationship? When you're counting on the calls, that's a sign of addiction. When you stress out, when you don't hear from the person, sign of addiction. When your text isn't responded to in a timely fashion, addiction. When you question your value constantly in the relationship, addiction. When you sacrifice too much of yourself for the person, addiction. And when you're constantly changing your schedule or plans to accommodate this person, likely addiction. Okay, so hopefully I've covered some of these topics in a way that you can start making some connections between the concept of attraction, attachment, and addiction in relationships. So we'll close it up here. Thank you for joining me.